promised land if they live righteously.
It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. This is a just barely post temple ticker episode, just after the April General Conference. We are doing it the night after those temples were announced. Those temples, that's right, the 15 temples that were announced. Now, normally for these temple ticker episodes, I am joined by Corey K. Ward, the Pharaoh himself, who obviously, if you know what Corey K. Ward looks like, you will see, oh, that's not Corey K. Ward. I'm joined by the noble Chris West. Now, he doesn't know that I call him the noble Chris West. I did a quick Google search for like what's just below the Pharaoh, and it's a noble, apparently.
It's so a that noble was where man. I came okay, from. All right.
I reserve the right to change that at any time in the future. But Chris, he agreed to step in where Corey would normally tell us about all the different temple things. Corey's past, though, his excuses. He is at a temple open house in Mexico. And I said, that's fine. I'll awesome. Give you that pass. And Chris has agreed to do all the studying about the different locations that the temples were announced. And that is what we will share with you. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing well, Richie. How are you?
You know, not too bad. I was excited to see, I'm excited to see any time a temple for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is announced, then subsequently ground broke, then subsequently built. There were a couple on this list that I was grateful to see. Yeah, hey, that's coming. That's happening. Ones that have been predictions and ones that I'm just like, yeah, let's come on. About time.
Yeah, we've been talking about some of these for a while, so much so that it's like, okay, good. You can scratch that off the list. Go to the next one. So it's good to see some of these come to pass. And you know, at this rate here, we won't have any more to predict within a few years, you know?
Well, if people are new to this, you know, we have long said ever since the internet sort of teased this to us, and I can't remember where Corey came up with this, but it was a formal but not formal source that the idea is 500 that either are announced, under construction, or dedicated by the year 2030. And we're certainly on track and pace for that at this point.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's some interesting studies out there of how we're going to hit that 500 mark. And you know, truthfully, it's not going to be the announcing. He can announce as many as he wants and we can put them out there. We've got the money to build them. It's the people. And it was great to see the statistical report say, hey, our numbers are going up. They're back to pre-pandemic levels and that we're baptizing, babies are being born. And truthfully, that's where the true numbers are really going to come into things saying, all right, we're going to build temples, but we got to staff them. We got to get the right people there. So let's do all that we can to get the people in these houses of the Lord.
It's a future conversation where we'll talk about the rest of General Conference, talk about maybe some talks that stuck out, some of those things. This particular episode will stay strictly to the temples, those that were announced and the locations that they'll be in. I want to just run down through the list and then we're going to go. So I'm just going to save the list of the different places in case people haven't heard, and then we'll go in greater depth. So we go Uturoa, French Polynesia, Chihuahua, Mexico. We do Florianópolis, Brazil, Rosario, Argentina, Edinburgh, Scotland, Brisbane, Australia, Victoria, British Columbia, Yuma, Arizona, Houston, Texas South, Des Moines, Cincinnati, Honolulu, West Jordan, Lehigh, and Maracaibo, Venezuela, if you had not yet heard the announcement. So that's where this episode will take us as to what we know about those particular areas. I found this unique, though, and tell me what you thought. President Nelson's talk before the announcement of the temples about the significance and importance of the temple.
Yeah, he dived right into that. And we were hearing that from some other people. And the fact that he wasn't in many of the sessions, I was like, oh, maybe another apostle is going to announce some things. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But I noticed that with a few other people really talked about the importance that they're closer. They're closer than they've ever been. And because of that, what are you doing to attend? And how often are you going to go? And what are you doing to renew your covenants? Because it doesn't stop with just receiving your endowment. You've got to go back. And so President Nelson just came right out of the gates just talking about that.
I thought it was interesting, too, because we don't get as many mentions, and certainly it's timely, of the Kirtland and the original Nauvoo Temple, but that he said, yeah, we had these. I thought it was an interesting statistic that he said, at the time I was born, there were six.
Yeah, right at the time he was born. You know, we hear about all these things. I was telling my kids recently how many there were when they were born. My oldest is 16, so it's not like these kids are very old here, but we've announced so many. In fact, it's quite interesting. President Nelson has now announced more temples than any of the other prophets combined. Mm. And it was only 8 years ago that we had 175 temples announced, operation under construction. Well, that's just as many as he's announced here at this point. We've now hit 350 total temples here. It's amazing that in his tenure here, he's been able to announce more than everybody else.
All right. That's enough with the preamble from the two of us. Let's get into the specific locations. French Polynesia, Utaroa. I don't know that I'm saying that.
Yeah, right. I'm not sure how to say that. You know, it's quite an interesting one because that northern part of French Polynesia, which for those of us don't really know where that is, middle of the ocean, Pacific. If you've heard of Bora Bora, you've probably seen the travel posters. Tahiti, same thing. We have a temple down there in Tahiti, but it was built all the way back in 1983. So this is the first new temple. They had to have been shocked knowing that, whoa, we're getting another one. You know, they've got 30,000 members down in French Polynesia, a good chunk of people across 100 congregations. We're not really sure how many stakes this is going to serve, just knowing, you know, which island is specifically is going to go on and how that's going to work out. But it's quite interesting just to see that area grow, that it's still alive and well down in the South Pacific.
You'll find, by the way, all the different statistics that we sort of cite within this time, they'll be a part of the show notes. So if you're interested in looking at that, and that we can leave some sources of where we got that. The other part of that too, and it startled me a little bit because you'll hear some high numbers, that is for either the country or for the state. It's not necessarily how many people will be utilizing that temple, right, et cetera. That's sort of a broader number. More to be determined. And you'll hear that, especially as we get into some of the stateside ones, you're like, there is no way that 5,000 congregations are using the Lehi Temple or whatever that is.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure that we keep that within context for people.
Yeah. You know, we're pulling from a lot of things. Obviously, the church puts out a lot, but we know a lot of good things. Corey, the master of research, he'll get in and pull up all these things. I mean, here he is on the ground reporting down in Mexico, figuring out all these things. So, you know, he's got the great information and we'll report as much of it as we can here in the show notes so people understand we're not just making up these statistics, but they're real and they're on the ground reporting as well.
Chihuahua, Mexico is where we travel next. And I found this to be absolutely fascinating. Had to look at it twice and then sort of think through things. That is the 25th temple in the country of Mexico. And I read that and then I read it again. And then I read it again, 25 in Mexico.
Yeah, that's really crazy. That's 25 that they already have. And I remember when Utah didn't even have 20. And they're catching up there. You know, Utah, we'll get to them in a little bit, but 29 and 30 that was announced. But even Brazil's catching up to them as well. So, you know, Mexico is still a central part of the church. They're still developing a lot. The state of Chihuahua, which is where this one's going to be built, this will be the third one in that state. But again, first one in over 20 years in that state. And for those of you that are geographically impaired, that's going to be just south of Texas and New Mexico, understanding where those things are going to be at there. We've got 1.5 million members of the church in Mexico. Okay. That's why they have 25 temples, 1.5 million people there, over 1,800 congregations. So it's just so many. How many that's going to serve, we'll end up seeing probably 4 to 6 different stakes in that area overall.
Now, this is the part of Mexico. Chihuahua is the part of Mexico where when the polygamy was banned and some saints went down to Mexico, that's this part of Mexico, correct?
Colonial. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I believe that's where President Eyring's family's from, as well as Mitt Romney's family. So, you know, we get a lot of Mexican heritage with a lot of those people who settled that area.
And then you mentioned and queued it up right into Florianopolis, Brazil, 23rd in Brazil.
Yeah, the 23rd temple will be the first one in this state of Santa Catarina at 1.5 million. So just as many members in Brazil as there are in Mexico. So think about that for a second. 1.5 million people there, over 2,000 congregations there, probably going to serve 9 or 10 stakes. It's really just a growing area. It's almost hard to predict where these are going to go because the church is just growing exponentially across that entire country.
What do we know about Florianopolis? Is it a coastal part? Is it geographically?
It's south of Sao Paulo, which we know is the one where it's got the giant statue of Christ, and that's out on the coast. It's going to be south of them. So if you find that on a map and draw south down there, you're going to see it right along the coast, and that's where that Florianopolis is going to be at.
That's pretty incredible. And then still in South America, we go to Argentina.
Yeah, Argentina, our 7th one in this nation here, with over 500,000 members in Argentina itself. They've been there for quite some time, that all of these temples in Argentina, you know, we've been preaching the gospel there for just over 100 years. So, you know, it hasn't even been that long that we've been preaching the gospel in that area. And yet here we are with, you know, almost at 500,000 members. That's just a lot of members to be able to work with. And so that area is just going to continue to grow as well, for sure.
But the speculation being this is going to serve quite a few stakes. So as members of the church continue, especially with the adherence or the exhortation to, you know, attend the temple more. I mean, that seems to me, with how many members in Argentina, that they could be, you know, this could be a next conference that we're talking about, another place in Argentina as well, with that many members and so few of seven. That's not so few, I suppose, but compared to some of its neighboring countries as far as temples go.
Sure. Yeah. And it's, you know, fairly close to the big city there, Buenos Aires, just northwest of there. And so, you know, it's growing area, more and more members. It's just good to see that, you know, just the heydays of the 90s, where we baptized so many people down in that area, it's not dying, that we're still getting a lot of people down in South America that are staying with the church, converting the church, growing the church, and we're building temples because of that.
Now, I mentioned the thing where I had to go back and sort of check, what statistics are we doing here? It was Scotland, because the amount of members in the United Kingdom is the number that you shared and represented. I was like, I know Scotland does not have 185,000 members of the church and 300 congregations.
No, they don't. And unfortunately, as any Scot would say, they are part of the United Kingdom. And so because of that, we've got 185,000 members, 300 congregations, which, of course, used to be a stronghold of the church until Brother Brigham said, bring it home, everybody, coming to Utah. And so here we are, much smaller area. But here we've got the United Kingdom. It's going to be the fourth one in the United Kingdom that's going to be built. Obviously, recently, a couple of years ago, we had Birmingham, England, that was announced. But essentially, no new temple has been built there since 1998. So we've got two that are announced or under construction at this time. So it's a great opportunity. We predicted Scotland for a while. That's been on the list. Was it going to be Glasgow? Was it going to be Edinburgh? Or as my pick, it'd be in the Northern Highlands, right on the edge of a loch by a cliff. Just, it had to look like Hogwarts, right? I'm just picturing Hogwarts this whole time. So we'll see what they end up doing.
And see, what I've thought, what I've sort of speculated, is that once they put in that temple in Scotland, the other temples in the United Kingdom will be decimated because there can be only one.
That is absolutely
Islander,
right.
Is that Scotland? Maybe.
That's an old one. You got the island. Yeah, you're right.
And people are like, that's not at all what that is. I tried. I valiantly tried to get that reference in. We don't know anything about it, but this is definitely one of those temples where it's like, hey, long distance, not necessarily, you know, thousands upon thousands clamoring to be able to. I mean, sure, there are certainly a lot of people. They wouldn't just build it for building its sake, but this isn't one where it's, you know, maybe like one of these Utah temples or something like that, where there's so much demand that they need to build another one. It is for the convenience of the saints to not have to travel elsewhere to be able to have this temple and worship.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And some of the things we've heard from church leaders is, if you build it, they will come, basically. Mm-hmm. There's the Field of Dreams mentality at this point of saying, we're going to put them in places you just wouldn't expect. And we might look at that and go, wow, they have one stake in some of these areas that they're building things. But I served my mission in Finland, where there was only two stakes at the time. And we were shocked that a temple was announced in Helsinki when there were only two temples or two stakes. And it served a very wide geographical area. And it is heavily used. And it brought in a lot more people, be able to pull people in from Russia. That is their temple that they go to a lot of often. So when we look at this, you know, if they build it, we'll come. The people will be there. We'll fill them.
Yeah, I love that, and especially the idea of that. Family, closely related to the Brisbane, Australia South. That's where my grandparents served a mission. So it's exciting to see, you know, I always wonder, friends, family, etc., did they know someone who might have been, you know, helpful in being able to bring in these things? I always sort of think of that when I know about these places. Tell me a little bit more about Brisbane and the temple that's announced there.
You know, it's interesting that we were able to get another Brisbane temple, because there's already one right there. And so, you know, we look at something like Brisbane and wonder, you know, why are they getting another temple? Well, this area itself, Brisbane, this is a population of 2.6 million people. There's a lot of people that live there. And recently we had President Nelson, who said, we're putting temples in places like Mexico City, where multiple temples, but it takes a long time to travel from one place to the other. So we don't know the full reason behind all of this, because, you know, when it comes down to it, Australia is not a hotbed for the church at the moment. We haven't had a new temple there since 2003, 155,000 members. That's less than we have in the UK overall. And so, you know, they're serving about six stakes overall and what they're able to do with this. And, but maybe it's just one of those areas the church saw, we got a lot of people cramming this, and they're coming from a lot of areas, that we just need to put another one right there. And it's going to really bless the people of Brisbane having that second temple in that city there in Australia.
One of the other temples that we sort of anticipated, and I know that as we actually, you know what? Let's take a break right here. We look like we're just about halfway through. Maybe we do one more and then we'll take a break. I also want to make sure that we hit up what the predictions that we did. We did an episode previous of General Conference or prior to General Conference where we said, hey, this is what we're thinking. Corey put that together and shared that. I want to know how many he did right. But maybe we talk about Victoria, British Columbia, and then we take a quick break. What about this temple?
Okay, yeah. So Victoria, British Columbia, I had to look it up. I wasn't really sure it was. I'm not from the Northwest. And looking it up there, if you look at a map, you go, oh, that's really close to Seattle. And you're right. It's just northwest of Seattle and then southwest of Vancouver, British Columbia. So up in that area, it's the second one in that province. The one that built in Vancouver was built in 2010. It's the 11th in Canada overall. So, you know, it's going to serve a significant population in that area. And maybe this is just one that knowing that the way things are faced geographically, it's just easier. You don't have to take a ferry ride to Seattle, a ferry ride over to Vancouver, but being able to stay right there in Victoria would make it a lot easier. So it should serve a couple of stakes that way and be able to really help those saints out, be able to not have to travel as far as can be very difficult, even though mileage isn't very far, knowing you've got a lot of ocean and mountains in the way to be able to get around as well.
Well, and I know cost for some people too. This is probably one of the ones that most people were like, this is coming. And I know that this is one that Corey mentioned. Again, we'll get into that later. But $100 ferry ride each way to be able to get to the mainland from Victoria, British Columbia to get to one of these other temples. Time, if you've ever been on anything where you had to count on a ferry, you have to be there early. And very quickly, what could be a, you know, if the temple's 2 hours away and you're able to drive to it, it becomes a 12-hour adventure because arriving at the ferry isn't on time, the getting to the place, the having the thing, the coming back and all that, to be able to have these saints be able to worship there where they're at is pretty significant.
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely a blessing. And it's easy to see places like the United States and say, oh, it's easy to get to everywhere. Oh, Canada's just on the other side of the border. Well, you know, everybody has their unique difficulties and the church sees that.
Yeah. Well, and when you talk about things like COVID and different things that can place restrictions on countries, normally we play pretty nice with Canada, but in the event that that did not go well for some reason, some unforeseen reason, please don't let there be a reason ever again that that happens, please, please. But to be able to have it within your own country and be able to not have to do and deal with all that. I love that. Let's take a quick break. When we come back in the second half, we've got the second half of the list. And also, we're going to see just how much the Pharaoh knows, find out how many of his predictions were accurate. We'll come back and do that in the second half of the Temple Ticker.
Hi friends, Dan the Laptop Man here from PC Laptops. Our lifetime service guarantee has become the most trusted warranty in the industry. You can get a brand new PC Laptops desktop computer and they start at only $29 a month. Check us out at PCLaptops.com.
BestDJInUtah.com is the website. That is where you go if you would like me to come and DJ your event. Now, will I do a family reunion where you all wear the same t-shirts? You bet I will. Will I travel to wherever you're at? Uh-huh. Am I reasonable as far as what I cost? Yes. Yes. Do I bring a good time? Yeah, all the things. Listen, Best DJ in Utah, it's my company. It's a thing I do that allows me to be able to have the time to do the cultural hall. So if someone's getting married, you think, man, they need a great DJ. You're throwing a party, whether it's a 50th or 60th or 40th or 20th or whatever the party is. I've done them all and would love to be able to do that. An anniversary party, certainly done those. I did a baptism in 2023. Yeah, we did a big dance party at a baptism. Spoiler, not a Mormon baptism, but it was fun nonetheless. BestDJInUtah.com is a website. I will get back to you within 24 hours with a quote. Come on now. BestDJInUtah.com.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Here in the second half of the Temple Ticker, don't forget, if you're watching this on YouTube, be sure you click that little subscribe. That way, whenever we post any sort of our videos, the interviews that we do, that you're able to see them. We love that. It pushes the algorithm so that other people go, a temple ticker. There's people that just talk about the temples. We love this. And then that shares it with more people. And then in the idea of Wayne's World, then they tell two people and they tell two people. So share that, click that. If you're just listening in good old fashioned, show and podcast form, I would love it if you would just subscribe. That way you don't miss any episode that way. And tell someone, you know what? I was listening to this. These guys put this together. It's amazing. It's quick. It gives me all that I need to know. Tell people, sharing is caring. So take a moment to share the show with somebody else. We go to the next temple, which I have somehow clicked out of my, there we are. It is Yuma, Arizona.
Yeah, Yuma, Arizona. This was an interesting one. I didn't see it on too many predictions list. We talked about Arizona. Corey even pointed out that President Nelson, even though he's announced so many temples here, he has not announced a single one for Arizona. Well, he did this time, but it was almost one that is in Mexico. Yuma, Arizona, if you look at it on a map, it is right down there at the corner of California, Arizona, and Mexico. So right down there, barely in Arizona, but we do get one on the list here. First one in Arizona since 2017. Arizona overall has almost 500,000, about 440,000 members, almost 1,000 congregations as well. So a few stakes in there. We're seeing a lot of these border ones offered, whether it's in Africa, Mexico, US, Canada. We're seeing a lot of these border temples, just knowing it can be difficult to travel across the border. So even though you might be able to see it across the border, temple to temple, we do know that this will bless the lives of these people in that area, being able to make sure that they can take care of things without having to travel very far, because the saints in that area were often having to go to San Diego or even Tijuana. Now they have an opportunity to stick right on this side of the border.
The people that are in the Arizona side, would they have been going to Phoenix, the Phoenix Temple, Mesa Temple? Where would they have been going beforehand on
possibly
that?
I think it's their choice here. San Diego is about the same distance. They're kind of stuck right there in the middle. I'm not sure exactly who they were assigned to. I don't have that data here at the moment. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, looking at that area, what they're able to do, whether they're going to San Diego, Phoenix, or like I said, even Tijuana is pretty close down there too.
And I suppose not all too terribly far from Las Vegas, although people would shout and go, it's a ways, pal. Try and do it for your worship. But that is right there. For some reason, I had Yuma pegged in the northern part, as Corey talked about, that there would be a northern Arizona temple. But yeah. No, certainly not. It is just about Mexico without being in Mexico. In fact, as I look at the map and zoom in and continue to zoom in, there's like one town that is closer to Mexico than Yuma, Arizona.
Yeah, it's pretty close right there. And so it's definitely, again, blessing the lives, just like we were talking about with British Columbia, just knowing, hey, sometimes it's the little things that count, not having to worry about a border crossing, not having to worry about a ferry ride, whatever it might be. This is definitely a blessing for everybody.
I like the announcement of things like this. We're going to put it in Houston, Texas, south. That way. And we don't know. Somewhere.
It reminded me, when they said the St. George, the second temple, which is now Red Cliffs, was Washington County. All right. So anywhere in the county, whatever that might mean. Well, this is something, again, that we predicted here for a while, knowing that it would be in Houston. Houston is a very large city in the United States, about the fourth largest overall. So another large city being able to travel to, just like we saw with Brisbane earlier, knowing that traveling from one side of the city to the next is very difficult. So this is the second temple for Houston since 2000. So almost a quarter of a century here since we've had one. Ninth one in the state. Texas is growing a lot. We've seen it, a lot of census records, a lot of people move in there. It is a very fast growing area, 385,000 members. It's be interesting to see some breakdowns on the state level to know how that's affecting things, but we're getting a lot of people moving to Texas, Houston being one of those places. It's already a large city. It's going to make those saints real blessed by knowing that they don't have to travel all the way up to northern Houston in order to go to that temple, and they can hit something that's further south without traveling a few hours to get there.
It's an interesting demographic thing that you indicate with the kind of shift sort of post-COVID of people going, maybe California and their politics or whatever. I don't want to get into any sort of that, but they're like, California, no more, moving to Texas. That certainly could account for some of the members of the church being in Texas now, where they would have been in, that sort of Orange County, Southern California, where there used to be just a ton of members of the church. We're seeing those wards shrink. Maybe that accounts for at least some of the growth in Texas and certainly this Houston area.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots of people down that area. And, you know, further down the coast here, we got have some down in McAllen that was just dedicated as well. So as we just add more and more temples here, we're going to see places like this where it just makes sense to put in a second temple, just because, you know, you've got five or six stakes down in a southern area and you've got five or six, 10 stakes up in a northern area. Why not split it a little bit, make it a little easier for these saints?
Yeah. Let's go. Sorry, I was looking at something to get ahead on the next one. Let's go to Des Moines.
Iowa.
I heard say Des Moines, and I'm just like...
Moines, yes. Des Moines, huh? As my kids like to joke around. Yeah, well, you know, we are getting close, Richie, to where almost every state in the United States will have a temple. Iowa was one of the last few on here. So now all of a sudden, it just a little side anecdote here. By my count, I believe we have only 7 states left that do not have a temple in it in the United States right now. So here we go with Des Moines, Iowa. They're getting one. They have the opportunity to have one. First one in the state. Not a lot of people. 29,000 members. We're talking about 4 or 5 stakes overall that they get to work with here. 70 congregations. Now, most of these stakes are going to be right there in the Des Moines area. But if you've been anywhere, if you live out in the Midwest, you know, traveling anywhere in a straight line is a long ways to go. So having something to stop on the way, knowing you don't have to go all the way to Omaha, to the Winter Quarters Temple, or having to go north up to St. Paul or all the way east to Chicago, you can make it easier. And it's a little easier to get to a lot of these things when you have something smack dab in the middle of the state. Speaking of Field of Dreams, right there, ready to be able to, they build it and now they're ready to come.
So let me ask you this. You throw out a statistic like this and I have to know, what are the other states that do not have temples? Do you have that?
I don't have them listed out, but as I look at things, I've got, let's see, Mississippi, I've got Delaware, New Jersey, Rhode Island, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, and then West Virginia. It's so funny because they announced the temple in Winchester, Virginia, which is right on the border of West Virginia, and they didn't want to put one just over on the other side. So even though they're surrounded by them, we'll see if West Virginia ever ends up getting one.
Well, and I'm looking, and this is as according to, I want to say, the website tells me that it's by 2024. So as a current as information as it can be, that the lowest amount of saints in the states, the United States, the lowest is Rhode Island. And then Vermont, which has a temple, Delaware, which does not, New Hampshire, which you said does not, is that right? And Maine does not, North Dakota does.
North Dakota does. Oh, South Dakota. I did not mention South Dakota.
Yeah. South Dakota does not. And only 11,494 saints in that state. So,
yeah, we get pretty sparse in some areas. We've got, you know, one stake in Rhode Island, one stake in Vermont, a couple in New Hampshire. You know, we're really spread out when it gets to a lot of those areas. We just don't have a lot of saints up in that area.
So will there be a time, do you speculate, or because of the closeness and cluster of those eastern states, that we have a temple in each of the 50 states or never?
You know, that's an interesting thing to understand is we look at a lot of this places like here, you and I both live out in the West. We've got states as big as, 5 states out in the East. And so we look at that area and, you know, it's a short drive for a lot of these people. But I think of I got a lot of friends and coworkers that live up in Vermont. And here, in order for them to travel, I got to go to Montreal. Across the border. Sometimes that's easy. Sometimes that's not. And so would it be easier to put one in Burlington? Maybe. Do we put one over in Augusta, Maine? Possibly, just to make it easier for some of these saints and knowing that it's not that big of a drive overall. And it's certainly closer than going all the way down to Boston.
Cincinnati, Ohio is the next one.
Cincinnati. Yeah. You know, this was one that's been talked about for a while. We've been talking about Ohio. You know, we got a lot to be able to bring to the state. This is the third one, the state, but you could say fourth if we're going to count Kirtland, which I think we can now.
Yes.
It may be 350 official temples, but I'll say 351 because Kirtland counts in my book, even though it's not an officially operating temple. Mm. But 65,000 members in the Ohio, you know, Richie, you can probably speak more to a lot of that in that area. What do you think about this?
Well, I'll be curious to know because there are a lot of things that say Cincinnati that are actually in the Kentucky side. So I will be curious to know, as we've talked a lot about in these Temple Ticker episodes, will it actually be in the city of Cincinnati or will it be outskirts and end up actually in Kentucky?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right there on the river there. It's hard to know.
Yeah. I mean, the Cincinnati airport is in Kentucky, among a lot of other things that they're like, yeah, Cincinnati. And you find out I'm not even in the same state as what I thought I was. Very, very historic city. There's some amazing, one of my favorite experiences that I've ever had in the cathedral was there in the city of Cincinnati. gorgeous, amazing opportunity to be able to sing with it. It was incredible. Can't speak more highly of that. Also, what else do I know about Cincinnati? Geraldo was used to be the mayor of Cincinnati. Is that what I remember? or Maury Povich, one of those guys that had the show, used to be, I think it's Geraldo Rivera, used to be the mayor of. I'll look it up while you're telling me more about one of these temples here in a second. I hope that it is in the Cincinnati side so that then everyone can do the DNC 3832, come to the Ohio. And
exactly.
You will be in power from on high.
Yeah, it's kind of the old Kansas City thing. You say, you know, yeah, I live in Kansas City, but on the Missouri side.
Yeah.
Little misunderstanding there. Yeah, we'll see what happens here. Of course, they did actually say Cincinnati. They did not say the Cincinnati, Ohio area or the Ohio area.
Sure.
You know, we know it's going to be going here to Cincinnati. So I would expect that. You know, we're going to have to get our on-the-ground reporter, Corey K. Ward, on the phone to be able to see what the church owns in that area, what parcels of land might be available to fit a temple. So I'm sure we'll get a lot more of that information here in the coming weeks and even months as we get official announcements as well.
And Jerry Springer is who was the mayor.
Jerry. Can't forget him.
I told you I'd get there. And that is your useless non-Latter-day Saint fact for that particular temple. There's so many. We got to keep going through this. Now we get into Honolulu, Hawaii.
Yeah, Honolulu. I think a lot of members are scratching their heads on this one. Corey laid out a great argument here in the last episode for predictions, why that's going to be there. What we're finding with a lot of these historical church temples that they can be large, but they can also service a smaller area. We get people like the Cartson, Alberta temple that are staffed by people that live far away, Lethbridge, for example. And so they're getting a temple in Lethbridge. We saw this in Manti, where their church said, hey, this temple just doesn't quite work for the people that we're serving here. We need to change it because it's so old. And instead they kept it and they're building one in Ephraim. Well, the same is true right here. We've got Laia, which is attended by a lot of people who are going to school and a lot of people vacationing. Mm-hmm. But everyone who lives there doesn't live in Laia. They're living down in Honolulu. So this may be an opportunity to be able to have the Honolulu Saints have a temple that is right there that they don't have to travel to. And then everyone else like us, who's going to say, I'm going to Hawaii. They can go to the PCC and they can go to the Laia that's staffed by a lot of the students there and give that opportunity to separate things. So we're seeing this trend so far. And so this was one that if you're looking really closely, you can see that this is going to happen. This will be the fourth one for the state, second one for the island of Oahu. Hawaii has about 75,000 members across 145 congregations. So Honolulu will be blessed here with an opportunity about to five or six stakes as an opportunity to staff this temple and not have to drive so far.
Yeah, this is the temple that I say traffic built, because if you've ever been to Honolulu, like we think of it differently in the West because we're like, we commute and we go places. But there are a lot of people that like, and I always say Laie. I didn't realize that Laia is how, anyway, that's my Howley interpretation of it. But that people don't commute like that. Plus, the traffic is so bad that to try and go from one to the other, it's just like it's like it were a different state. Though it is the same island, it is a completely different, the North Shore to the South Shore. And so, yeah, make it convenient for that. And again, a thing where the million plus population of Oahu can see that temple and go, what is that? And have that experience there. And then as they are able to spend time up on the North Shore, be able to have that different experience. Something else that you said, and just worth a quick aside, the temple in Manti and then the temple in, why can't I think of, I'm wanting to
Ephraim.
Say Ephraim. I heard this as I did the Manti temple tour. Part of the reason that the church was allowed to not have to retrofit the Manti temple is because of the Ephraim temple, because there's some statute and give this the value that it will be. But if someone can get the same services in a reasonable area, and I think it was like 10 miles or less, then you do not federally have to retrofit whatever your building that you're renovating to. If they hadn't had that, and maybe that's the only reason, it's not that they built the Ephraim temple, but you know, that is yet another reason. So those that are wheelchair bound or unable to do those beautiful stairs, walk those beautiful stairs in the Manti temple, they now have that separate temple and can be able to receive the same privileges as those that will be able to use the Manti temple. Interesting fact. What do you think about that, pal?
Yeah, well, I mean, Laia is an old temple. We don't realize how old some of these temples are. And so when we see some of this, we kind of expect things to just be the way that it is because it's Hawaii and it's a classic temple and it's going to stay that way forever. But that's not true. Laia is such an old temple here. It's hard to retrofit some of these things without demolishing a lot. And we heard a lot of the controversy with Manti knowing, hey, if we want to make it ADA friendly, if we want to make it so there's less steps here and make it so we can bring in more people, we got to knock down some walls. Mm-hmm. And so to preserve some of this, sometimes it's just easier. To build a whole new building instead of to upset the members in the area.
Yeah, the Laie Temple is so old.
Say, how old is it?
How old is it?
It's so old that it's one of the temples that was built when President Nelson was born.
Oh, my goodness.
It's and that's one of actually those seven, back. Huh? That's one of the ones that existed. Let's go. I was surprised at this, not surprised at the other one, but West Jordan, Utah Temple announced.
Yeah, you know, anyone could throw Utah on the list and you're going to get something and being able to pick these things out. Now, if we're getting granular here, West Jordan was not on a lot of lists. Nope. We picked a little bit further south. These are going to be north of the Ochre Mountain Temple and South Jordan Temples. So a little bit further north than we expected. Still a growing area. That whole West Bench there is really, really growing. Lots of people, but we expected more. Daybreak, Harriman. A little bit further south that this temple would have gone, knowing of the parcels that are available there. But there's a lot of land up in West Jordan. So it'll be quite interesting to see what happens, knowing how they're going to be able to serve all of these members, about 15 stakes in that area. It'll certainly be a blessing, but of course, it wasn't exactly what we had thought it would be.
No, I'm fascinated, and I need to look at this just a little bit more specific. Haven't had, because we wanted to make sure that we got this out for people to be able to consume. I haven't had the time to look at it exactly as I want. I'm not sure city lines of how far west, if West Jordan goes all the way to the mountains on the West Bench in the Salt Lake Valley, because it has to go north of 90th South, if you know the Salt Lake Valley. And I'm thinking somewhere like right around like 50th South. And so far west, it's basically Tooele, but it's on the west or on the other side of the mountains in the Salt Lake Valley still. So like out by USANA Amphitheater, if people know where that is, just so, so very far west. Bordering maybe Kearns, kind of in that, how far west can we put this and still have it be in West Jordan and maybe a little bit up on the bench in the valley? I would be very, very surprised if it's any further east than like 50th west.
Well, looking at Google Maps, if this is right, West Jordan, the furthest north is 6,200 south. Okay. So not quite as far north as you thought it would be, but it does go up on the bench here over into Bloomington Heights. Okay. And covering everything out that direction. So, you know, whether this is right, but hey, just because the church says West Jordan doesn't mean they won't build it in Kearns, doesn't mean they won't shove it somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so it does go as far west as the mountains, but maybe not. And you also have the Taylorsville Temple that covers the eastern part of that. Taylorsville, West Jordan, Kearns, all sort of in that same cluster. I'm telling you, it is going so, so, so very far west. I think that's where you'll see it. And I like it. I like the idea of being able to look to the West Bench and see a temple there. Let's go Lehi. I know we're getting long on time here, but a lot of temples announced.
Lehi, that was one that a lot of us predicted as well. The Silicon Slopes, as they're calling it these days, the number 30 on the list for the this. You know, thank heavens for they don't have to sacrifice that drive to Mount Timpanogos or Saratoga Springs. They can stay right there in Lehi. Not very far. We're splitting hairs at this point. But as we know, it's a very, very fast-growing area. A lot of people moving. When we heard about people moving to Utah, Lehi was the place. This is where this is growing the most, getting a lot of people. I've got a cousin out in that area. And they've got a lot of people coming out to that Mount Timpanogos Temple because the Provo Temple is closed. Mm. So you're shipping a lot of missionaries out that direction. That's changing a lot of the dynamics of what we're doing with all of our shifts. Of course, this temple is not going to be built in time for the Provo Temple to be rededicated when they finish that one. But nonetheless, the dynamics are just changing in that part of the area with a lot of people moving in that area, a lot of different opportunities to be able to put in a temple, be able to take care of these people and make sure that we're not overburdening some of these other temples that have been there for a while.
Is there any sort of chatter as to where this Lehi Temple will be? I've heard a couple of things sort of speculated, but just Lehi at this point?
Yeah, just Lehigh at this point. I don't have the data like Corey is. I think that's where he can get in and start pulling up some county records and let us know where the appropriate sites are going to be at. I would expect, just knowing the size of some of these temples in Utah County, we're probably going to get something that's 70,000 square feet. So it's going to be a fairly large site to pick from, making sure that we can get this. I don't think it's going to go right at point of the mountain, but I think we're going to get pretty close right off I-15 that people will be able to certainly see it.
And yeah, I mean, there, the rumor that I've heard is that there literally is a spot right off of I-15, sort of below or just adjacent to the Traverse Ridge. There's a large outlet mall kind of area, and just kind of down a ways that there's a plot there. Someone else, as I looked at just random chatter online, said that if you could bird's eye view Salt Lake County and Utah County, you have the Draper Utah Temple on sort of the south bench. I guess it would be the northern bench of the South Mountain in the Salt Lake County side. And that the thought is they'll have it almost symmetrical, that the Lehigh Temple will be on the other side of South Mountain there, right over by, if people know where Micron is or Texas Instruments have plants there, that it could very well be kind of up on the foothill there. Everyone be able to see it and just
more Highland. Highland Alpine area. But at that point, we're getting a lot closer to Mount Tipinogos Temple as well. So, you know, at this point, it's really about just offloading capacity, knowing a lot of people are going to Mount Tipinogos, and it's just being able to make things a lot easier as that area continues to grow, making sure that we can have the right places for the people without overburdening these temples.
Bring it home, Venezuela.
All right. Venezuela is one we picked as well. Venezuela, of course, is a very interesting place. We have no American missionaries that are serving there at the moment. They're all Venezuela born, which is a great story in itself anyway. But because of the political situation, we haven't had a temple there since 2000 with the Caracas Temple. 175,000 members in that country with 230 congregations. It is still growing despite political unrest, despite no American missionaries being there and just being homegrown. That's not a bad thing. That is only a good thing in this sake, knowing that we're going to have 11 stakes of the opportunity to work out of this temple. That's going to be a huge blessing for these states, knowing that all that they're going through right now, that the Lord does not look over them, knowing that he is still looking out for them, still going to help them and be able to bring a temple to this area for these lovely saints.
So let's see, how well did Corey do? What ones did he get right and which ones did he miss? Let's talk about the predictions that we did and then we'll wrap this thing up.
Yeah, it was quite interesting. It's hard to count. You know, like I said, we can just throw a lot of things out there and say Brazil, Peru, whatever it might be. And they're probably going to be right with some of these. I predicted about 5. So overall, I thought he did a pretty good job here, about 27% overall, pretty good. My list, I got 3 out of 10. So a little better there. We had some other people here that had some great discussions about what they're able to come up with. A lot of temples, and you can almost throw a dart and you're going to get really close to be able to say that's where the next temple is going to be.
So let me ask you, which ones did you get right? You're claiming 3. I want to know, what did you get right?
The 3 that I had picked here off the list was going to be Scotland.
Okay.
I picked that one on there. I had Honolulu on there as well and Lehigh.
Okay. And I think I just said Lehigh and then I thought another one in Salt Lake, but I was looking East Bench. Mm-hmm. I was looking.
That's what you were hoping for.
Cottonwood Heights area, something like that. Because, I mean, the East Side Salt Lake Valley folks, they've had to suffer long enough, haven't they? Can't they just...
You just don't get a lot out there. There's a lot of stakes in that area, but Draper's really the only one on East I-15 or Salt Lake, I guess you could say. But nonetheless, yeah, you know, maybe one day Midvale will finally get their temple or Sandy or something.
Oh, I don't know about that. Maybe. Now the Midvalians and Sandy citizens hate our guts. You can always follow along again. Find us. We do temple ticker episodes. Now with the amount of temples that continue to come out, we go about once every couple weeks where we do a whole episode talking about the various temples, their statuses, their dedications, anything of significance, even those things where they get announced and then they get relocated or people have the gall, the audacity to oppose the temples of those things. We talk about that. We call it the temple ticker and we share it both in the Cultural Hall show feed. That's wherever you get podcasts. Look for the Cultural Hall. Or if you're watching us on YouTube, be sure that you subscribe so you don't miss any of that. Chris, great job, the noble Chris West. Those are big shoes to be able to step in. I think that he would say that you did a great job, and I would echo that statement. I hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body. This is my favorite part is when people...
Oh, man, you always put me on the spot.
Who I know love this show and who I know listen to this show so very much. And at the point where it comes to them doing it, It just emptied.
Just blank.
That
has nourished and strengthened your body.
That if you're not healthy enough to listen this week, that you'll be healthy enough to listen next week, and that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety.
In the meantime, Chris at Alpine Lakes Travel, Rick McGee, Debbie Wanless, Chocolate Cake Bites Podcast, and the Tiger with a U will be saving a seat for you
on the back row.
There it is. He did it, you guys.
The Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row. We really gotta go on the Cultural Hall show.